Yeah, g'day to our Tripod family and welcome to our Round 24 NRL Recap. My name is Dane from Clarkie's Rugby League column and I'm joined by my co-host Jacob from Tripod Punting. Mate, how are you going?
I'm going okay, thanks, mate. Not a great weekend on the betting front. 2-2 best bets, lost the mixed matchup. Dogs were putrid, we just saw it. But it depends what you stake, I guess, because we won yet another same gamer. That's something to be celebrated. 525 odds. That was for the Sharkies game, even picking Ronaldo to have a double. So happy with that, but overall not great. And just to give people a heads up, this will probably be our quickest pod of the year because I've got some stuff to attend to with my little fella. So we'll give you a truly rapid reaction to the weekend that was where all eight favourites got up head-to-head.
Absolutely, mate. Family comes first, but we appreciate you taking the time here. Let's jump straight into the first game. It was Panthers v Manly, and the back-to-back reigning premiers get up 24-12. Went with Stephen Crichton for my MVP here, and I actually did like Manly's game plan because it's kind of clear that you can't just rock up and go set for set with the Panthers and look to complete at a high rate and win. You got to look to execute and pick moments. And fair enough, Manly were a bit wild at times, maybe too wild, but I didn't hate their game plan. I did think the Panthers got a ton of great calls from the referees. And I do think refereeing as a whole this weekend was quite poor, but they were still too good. They won comfortably and impressive that they did lose half their spine in Luai and Mitch Kenny, and they still get it done without too much trouble there. My play was Panthers 13 plus and Brian Toe anytime try score. So I just missed that one, Winnie. Unfortunate, mate, but how'd you see this one?
That was unfortunate because the Panthers foregoed the option to take the two late in the game. It could have put it beyond doubt. And I actually agree with you. Like, it was a pretty crazy game. You have Schuster takes the intercept and then kicks for some bizarre reason, but it was in their heads, obviously. Like, we're going to early kick because we don't think we can beat the Panthers conventionally. I respect that too. Like, the most bizarre moment that will stick in people's memories, the foursome backs, the choice to kick on the kick return from Garrick. And I thought Seibold's explanation was bizarre, saying it was a great play. It was the right play, but our kick chase was off. If he would have said it was an attempt to get him, catch him napping for a 20-40, or it was an attempt to, well, if Edwards wasn't in position, Saab potentially can win the race to the ball. Maybe he just didn't say exactly how they saw that going, but in fact, it gets returned for a try. Crichton, the man you gave at MVP, had an intercept try as well. So you're not going to beat the Panthers when those things don't go your way. But I actually agree with you. Manly mixing it up because how else are you going to beat Penrith? No one can at the moment. They're pretty untouchable. And this was a a stock standard win from their performance, from their perspective. A couple of key men out didn't really matter because they did enough to comfortably take the 2 points here and officially, I'd say, end Manly's season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The Stephen Crichton first intercept was a killer. Manly were on top at that stage. G'day, Colt. How are you going, mate? Of course, to our other viewers, we are live, so happy to see any of the comments roll through. Let's jump into the second game. It was, unfortunately, my Titans going down 36-6 there. The Sharkies absolutely pump us. Jesse Raymond was my MVP. He had a try, 10 tackle breaks, 200-plus metres. My play here was Titans at the line and Fifita anytime try scorer, which is really embarrassing with hindsight, but I just had a feeling after the Warriors game we were going to show up, turn up and show something. We show nothing. Winnie, I was at the ground and Tino got announced as a 10-year extension. He scored and I yelled, give him a 20-year deal. I love you, Tino. He gave me a thumbs up. I thought maybe we're back in this. I'm feeling it. No, we got absolutely pumped. And the Titans are that sort of side. They ride the highs until a certain point and then just fall off the face of the earth. And it was really, really tough to be there. Theme of our season. Meanwhile, the Sharks, they snapped their three-game losing skid and they've gone back-to-back now. They look dangerous and they're still a side that has Will Kennedy to return, which is a trump card for them come finals. They just got to keep that momentum rolling. How do you see this one?
That's right, and they've done that. So you get the big kind of season-turning win in Perth, but you carry it through at home. So my same-game multi, as well as the best bet where I had -8.5 for the Sharkies, same-game I went Ronaldo for a double in his return. He scores third minute, but he got injured scoring and it looked like he might have to come off. He toughed it out, luckily. Could have had four by halftime, had two. I was a little bit worried because I thought the Titans might no-show here. I reckon they came with a bit of fight, but there was some key moments like a forward pass call that denied a Titans try, which I thought was pretty rough. Later on, Fifita actually did score. He did score off a bomb, but then that got ruled out. So it's like the Titans had nothing go their way and the Sharkies at home, once the Titans dropped their heads, the Sharkies just ran away with it. And they're definitely you know, trying to stamp their ticket to the finals. Whereas this is what you expect from a Titans side that the season's effectively over. It was cool that they re-signed Fifita and Tino on this mega deal, and Tino scores. That's all great. I'm just going to say my instant reaction. 10 years and 12 million is a lot. What, he wouldn't have accepted 10 years, 10 million? Like, I'm just trying to figure out who you had to outbid, because it's great for him to say, oh, I believe in the club. Yeah, any player in the NRL believes in any club. If they get given 12 million for 10 years, it does sound like a lot. He's probably worth it right now. I hope he's worth it for the next 5, 8 years, because players can get injuries and slow down. I don't want to be a downer on what is excellent that you have secured two of the most in-demand forwards in the comp. But I'd be interested in your kind of instant reaction to that news as well.
Yeah, instant reaction. I like it, but it also depends. How much does the salary cap rise over future seasons? Because as it currently stands, you probably can't have a prop on 1.2 mil. But certainly if Tino's salary is going to rise over those 10 years and we envision salary cap increases as part of the CBA negotiations, then I don't have a problem with it. Colt says we got a few rough decisions. Mate, I had some rough sledging against the Sharkies fans. I hope no one recognized me, but I was 15 beers deep and yeah, let's just say I gave as good as I got back to the Sharkies fans there. Let's move on to Broncos for Eels. It was 54-10. Broncos absolutely wiped the floor with them. And I went Dean Mariner for my MVP. 2 tries, 2 try assists, and not much of a contest at all here. The Broncos simply steamrolled them. And a lot of people expected that. My play here was Broncos head-to-head and overs, which did hit as we hit 64 points in this one. We know the Broncos are a brilliant attacking side, and they've shown us throughout this season they are also a brilliant defensive side. The questions that we've had about the Broncos all year, are they going to fall off after Origin? Have they got enough depth when Adam Reynolds isn't there, et cetera, et cetera? They've answered them all and more. And so this looks like a side that's just primed and ready for finals, and they're not going to slow down until they get there, which is really fun to watch. For the Eels, that's probably the final nail in the coffin. I don't see any way they rebound from that, particularly with Mitchell Moses now gone for the rest of the year. So, Winnie, they have gone from a grand final appearance to missing the finals. And sure, they've been unlucky with injuries, suspensions, tough draw, you name it. They have been unfortunate this year. But I'm going to put out a take here. Even if you put the Eels in the finals this year, they're going out first round. They're not doing anything, even if they are full strength from what I've seen. Would you agree with that take? And how'd you see this one?
Depends what you call full strength. Like, now that Moses is out for the season, the Eels are their best. Remember, we have seen them beat Penrith. I know that's a long time ago. Yeah. We know that they're very best. They can mix it with the top sides, but it hasn't been their year. And it's not that uncommon to actually make a grand final and then miss the eight. You see actually quite often in seasons, it's hard for teams to recapture that year where everything goes right. And is what a polar opposite, because you mentioned Brisbane's, the wheels fell off last year. It was right around this time last year where Parra came up to Brisbane and Parra was surging, and Parra put 50, 58, something like that on Brisbane at Suncorp. And this was their polar opposite. Now Brisbane's the ones that are surging. The only thing you'd worry about Brisbane is the finals can't come quickly enough. They just look red hot. I don't know how much better Brisbane can get. And they just want to hope no one, you know, gets hurt, but they stay firmly in top two because the Warriors keep winning. I said that in the preview. So Brisbane's look sharp as anything. And of course, I agree, while Parramatta could still win their remaining games and get in, it's not going to happen now when you cop a defeat of that magnitude and you lost to your most important player.
Yeah, a big turnaround from where these sides were last year. The next game I wish I didn't watch, but I did. It was Rabbitohs v Dragons, 26-14. The Bunnies get up, and it was just a tough watch. I went with Keon Kolomatangi for my MVP. No one really stood out. The usual suspects in Latrell, Cody Walker, Cameron Murray, they had a few nice touches each, but there was no sustained pressure by the Bunnies. It was a great set and an error the next one. They finished with 16 errors and 63 completion rate. And I just feel that even if you half that error count, the Bunnies have another 2 tries in them there, because when they were attacking and getting it right, they looked good. They just didn't get it right enough times. For the Dragons, I mean, they kind of gave us what we expected. They're going to show some fight, but how much fight is the question, right? My play here was Dragons at the line, Ravalawa, anytime try scorer. I was happy when he scored. That one cashes as well there. But for the Bunnies, really unimpressive. Great attacking conditions. No excuses left in this one. Basically full strength. And I don't know how to feel. I suspect you've got a bit more of a stronger opinion on this one, because did we have a best bet here? And I know you were counting on the top four as well.
And best bet was minus 17.5 for Souths. So I'm pretty disappointed. Oh, it was a bit of an eyesore. It was not a good showcase for the game up at Cairns. And neither team could really hold the footy. What hurts? I can't really say, oh, I got that right. You know, Dragons got a couple tries off kicks. Bunny's pretty wasteful. It hurts just the fact that it came down to the wire and we actually had an Ilias try awarded with 60 seconds to go and it's very kickable and the Rabbitohs are going to win by 18. And the bunker finds a little ball. Fair enough, there is a couple of millimetres of separation on his put down there. And then the Rabbitohs steal the ball and then score again. And I thought legit try with like 15 seconds left. And that one's called forward pass. Nobody cares anyway, so nobody like argued it. I was like, what, forward pass where? So and that hurts because, you know, you lose by 5.5 points. You easily could have. I know that the Rabbitohs never really got out with a big lead, but this type of game can be competitive for 50, 60, 70, and then you think that the class side can, you know, extend late. And so I was very hopeful that could occur, and we fall a try short. And once again, the Rabbitohs are, yes, sloppy and underwhelming. All I can say is they really will be tested next week. You know, that game away at Newcastle, they're not going to be able to afford to be below their best in that one. So that's going to be the real test. And they do finally come home. I guess it's away again, but they at least get back to Sydney to recuperate a little bit before that one.
And that's really the only thing I can see changing for the Bunnies at this point. Is it a higher class competition that brings the best out of them? Have they been taking the Dragons and Tigers in recent weeks a bit easy? I love that question from Siebes. He says, big picture, who beats Penrith? I thought it was South, but they've been hopeless lately. And I'd agree with that. I'd say the Broncos, but it does lead me into my analysis of this next one and the Warriors, who defeated the Tigers 30-22. My MVP was Anfernil Blake, 250-plus metres a try. Great season. Clearly the second best prop to Payne Haas in this league at the moment. I have to start with the referees again here, sadly. I thought the officiating was really poor and probably favoured the Warriors, which is ironic for the Tigers because it was their home game. And no doubt the corporate side of things made a lot of money with the ticket sales and stuff like that, but yeah, didn't help them there. They had a real crack here. And my original play was Warriors at the line, even remember winning. But I did put a caveat on it saying, if it rains, that changes, right? And there was some light drizzle. So I'm going to do a Gus Gould here and I'm going to claim a win. I'm going to do it. It's been done before. But no, it was nice fight shown by the Tigers with some tough calls and adversity here. And they have improved in every single stats area this year, essentially. So no doubt in 2024, we will see them get a couple more wins. But for the Warriors, to be really, I guess, brutal in this assessment here, it was unimpressive against the bottom eight side, no less the last ranked side in New Zealand. Week before, they versed a Titans side with 12 men. Let's not forget, this is a Warriors side. Their best wins this year have been the Sharks in an insane comeback, the Knights, who are not traveling with any form at the moment, the Raiders, who have now fallen off a cliff, and the Eels, who are missing their entire spine, essentially, at the time. They don't really have a significant win this season. And I've only really come to this conclusion after following their bye. Before that, I was much more higher on the Warriors, but they are slowly trending down for me. And I am starting to grow in concern for their finals hopes. Am I being too tough there, or do you should sort of share like some of those concerns as well?
Yeah, it is a funny one. They're not playing as sharp as they were. And Webster puts it down to we haven't come back from the bye like, as clinical as we should. I think the couple of opponents, it's easy to underestimate sides this time of year. You know, you play the Titans, you think you should win easy, especially when there's an early send-off. Titans fought really hard, and I do want to give credit again to the Warriors opponent here because just my sense watching this game was, man, the Tigers are here to play. They've come up with a play where they'd force an error, force someone over the sideline, and just I could sense that energy. I don't know if it's confirmation bias because I had a feeling the Tigers could make this one interesting and this could be that kind of under-the-radar game, which is why I didn't touch New Zealand, even though I liked quite a few favourites this round where the underdog was travelling, and certainly this was a candidate. But the Tigers were up for it, man. They've got so much more talent than your typical 17th place team. And they certainly made a game of this. A couple of times made the Warriors nervous late. You know, it's that man again, Johnson, did you say? Was he MVP again? He has that peach of a pass.
Second best.
Who was it? Was it Fanua Blake?
Yeah,
he put over at... Was he him that had the try that sealed it? Can't recall. Yeah. It was AFB. So, you know, before, although even then, the Tigers got the ball back late and scored, I guess, when they couldn't make the conversion, you know, it was basically all over at that stage because Sieves wrote, did the ball cross the plane. That was a funny one where the kick actually went 10 and but it then blew back and before the 40-meter line and every player left it. And then the ref was like, it's play on, and someone jumped on it. But, yeah, the Tigers actually had a good fight. It is hard to judge the Warriors. How I see the overall premiership, I'm sure I'm not going to be shocking anyone. You know, it's Penrith's going to be probably a just converted try favourite or more against everybody. Maybe it's around that mark if they play Brisbane. It really does shape up to be a Broncos-Panthers grand final. I'm sure that would be everyone's takeaway. I saw that was paying $3.40 leading into the weekend. It's potentially shortened, but if the bookies haven't adjusted that, you might just play that because Brisbane and Penrith have got the pathways that they don't have to leave their states or their home for grand final. That could be it. Who can challenge? Let's talk about Melbourne in a minute. And the Warriors, I think they'd be in the range of kind of a 10-point road favourite, road underdog. Maybe a little under 10, a bit over 10 if it was Brisbane versus Penrith. So an upset like that can certainly occur, but it would be an upset. It would be a night where everything went right, where, you know, big calls and big plays would have to be pulled off for the Warriors. I don't see them on the same level as Brisbane and Penrith. I don't think anyone else does either. It's still awesome for them. They're in the four and they're in the mix, and upsets can certainly occur.
I think the thing for the Panthers, and while they just have to be respected as such hot favourites, is when they won the first year, they won the prelim, everything went right. In the second year, they lost in the first week to the Bunnies and had to go all the way through, and they still managed to. And everyone said, well, that's their bubble gone, the bubble's burst, and they found a way. Now, this is about the part where all my good predictions this week go out the window, and it starts to get really, really poor from what I said in the preview show. The Roosters smashed the Dolphins 30-14. My view was Drew Hutchinson. He had 2 tries, 12 tackle breaks for a half. Really, really impressive, particularly when you consider Sandon Smith remains an option, Sam Walker returned this round, and Connor Watson's closing in his return all around the positions that you would think Hutchinson plays. Sent a great message there to the Roosters coaching staff. I don't want to rag on officials too much in a recap pod. I hate when people do that, so I'll just say they were poor here again and leave it at that. But Dolphins did show a lot of fight, and I felt a bit weird thinking that, but then I watched the post-game press conference and Bennett said the same. And this is a guy who throughout the week came out and said, we've gotten worse this year. Valance Tafade is overweight. Like, he doesn't pull punches and he's very honest in his assessment. So the Roosters were really good, and I have to give them credit as well, because there's been times here where they've won and I've said they haven't impressed me. They were good, but the Dolphins were probably unlucky in a few areas. My play here was Dolphins at the line and Hammer ATS, which never really looked close, especially after that Ray Stone sin bin. But I believe you got up with your best bet on this one, didn't you?
That's right. Best bet was -9.5 with the Roosters. I was a little nervous when the Dolphins were up 8-0, and it was 8-0, like right up until the final minute of the first half. And I was thinking, this is crucial. And it was crucial that the Roosters got the ball out wide and Teddy put on a good move and put Manu across the line to just get that vital try right on half time that just feeds so much energy into a side that wants to fight back and takes a bit out of the team that was clinging on, because that try was the first of 4 or 5 straight tries that the Roosters put on, took the game away. That included a couple while Ray Stone was in the sin bin, you know. And from that point, I felt like the Dolphins have shot their shot. You know, came to play, led at halftime. But when you waste opportunities and when you get someone sent off or sin binned and the opponent's just building and building with energy, then it's going to be a pretty comfortable win. In the end, the Dolphins, yeah, they weren't close. They got a try with like under 5 minutes to go. But just my observation of the Roosters was playing with a lot of energy, really pushing up around the ball and looking revitalised. And you're kind of thinking, where's this attack been? And speaking of revitalised, I felt like that Parramatta loss, now that's a team that's not going to make the 8 anymore. Parramatta plays the Roosters next week, not to jump ahead into our preview, but no Moses. What a lifeline that is. Roosters wouldn't have been favourite in that game. They certainly are now. They've got the Tigers the week after. I don't know if the Roosters are going to make the 8. I'm going to plug the numbers into my simulator and find out if they win their final 3 games, are they more than likely sneaking in for 8? But what I can say is it does look like the Roosters keep winning, and I would expect that they will. They can get to round 27 and at least put themselves in a position where if they beat South, they get in. And mm-hmm. Souths will be off the bye that week. That'll be a very tough ask. And everyone knows I love Souths this year, whether that's been right or wrong. I've lost three best bets on them in the last month. But, man, if we get Roosters Souths and it's got, like, finals implications, it determines the fate of both their seasons. How insane will that be? That will be box office round 27. And just on that note, because another sporting event was still going on at the beginning of this one. It's all right. I got my Foxtel IQ. I don't miss a minute of anything. But I want to give a shout out to the Tillies. That was probably my highlight of the weekend, if I'm honest. I think it has captured a whole nation. 7-6 on penalties, about 10 penalty shots each against France, and they're into the semi. And luckily, it's not going to clash with our Wednesday preview show. It'll be a couple hours after our Wednesday night. The Matildas go up against England. So I've got to shout that out. We find a good bet on that, we'll share it on Wednesday.
Yeah, I agree, mate. It's so rare that I watch another sport over the NRL. Really only make exception for the UFC if it's a pay-per-view. But I had to with the Matildas, and as you said, how they've really captured our nation. Before we move on to the next game, the reason why that round 27 game is also going to have more spikes on it, Winnie, Roosters do milestone games really well. This one was Luke Keary's 200th, I believe. And mm-hmm. there was someone a few weeks ago where they thumped someone as well. It could have been in the Titans game. Jared Waria Hargrave's 300th NRL game. And we know he loves coming up against Souths. It's going to be a great game.
Don't get suspended before that point, Jared.
Yeah, well, that's the challenge, right? Let's jump into the next game because this is just unbelievable. The Storm defeat the Raiders 48-2. They don't even score a try. Went with Jerome Hughes for my MVP, 2 try assists, brilliant game by him. And it sucks to say because I tipped the Raiders coming into this one, but have the Storm finally exposed them? Did it take a huge loss like this for all of our minds to sort of convert and really look back at this Raiders side, who have the fourth worst defensive record in the league at this stage? They're right there in the bottom four defensively. They've got a negative 4 and against, and they've gotten away with plenty of lucky calls this year, plenty of tight victories. Think last week, Tigers, 2 missed forward passes. NRL comes out Monday and says, oh, they were tries. They weren't tries, sorry. Too late. Raiders got the 2 competition points. My play here was to be even at full time, and then the Raiders kick the field goal to win here. I just thought Ricky Stewart would get them up for this. And there was no fight in this Raiders side. Dare I say the worst I have ever seen them look. And part of the reason why I liked that play when he was there was still an injury cloud over Hughes and potentially Coates. Tell you what, take them out of this game, remove Munster and Grant as well. Storm still win 13 plus comfortably from what I saw. The Raiders were just on a different planet today. They just did not show up at all. And what really frustrates me, Winnie, what I always say, never underestimate the Storm. They never lose back-to-back. The last 2 wins they've got, I've gone against them and broken my rule. The Eels won in this one. So I've only got myself to blame with my pick. How'd you see this one?
I blame myself for not taking Melbourne as well because I kind of saw this coming in that I said on Wednesday that I could see this being Melbourne's best performance of the year. And that alone should have just backed them. I just felt like the bookies kind of knew it. The line was over 10 and it was a chance to finish get into the top 4. And this Raiders side, you know, it was 4th vs. 6th or 4th vs. 5th, right? And I just thought that's quite a lot of points for a Raiders side that has some capability. But I think you are right. They did pretty much expose the Raiders, and many people have been saying it in the comments on our shows and in our threads that the Raiders are frauds, and they probably are a below-average team. Look at the points differential. That's just one more than they've lost. They're probably kind of the reverse of the Knights. So the Knights couldn't win the close games, but they show what they're capable of, beat teams by big magnitudes. And the Raiders just happen to jag all these tight ones. And I just thought the history, the fact that the Raiders had won 5 in a row in Melbourne didn't help them at all. I didn't believe there's some secret sauce going on. I just thought, if anything, that the Storm are just going to use that. There's no way they're going to overlook the Raiders. So I should have just laid the points here. And I just thought the Raiders were sloppy, like come in, had opportunities, but the Storm were clearly so desperate in attack. Even when the Raiders would make like a half break or look like they could score on the try line, the Storm scramble showed pure desperation. And on the other hand, the Storm just seemed to be running it so hard. And, you know, when they were in attack, they just seemed to want it so much. They were so ruthless. And so Canberra couldn't match the intensity. So it was, I think, like 24-2 at halftime, and the Storm just carried it on the second half. And I will also go as far to say congratulations, Melbourne Storm, on finishing top 4, because not only did they get this win here, but the points difference advantage that they've gained out of a game like this where you probably didn't see it coming, a side like South Sydney that still had mathematical hopes of catching Melbourne didn't win by, you know, within 30 points of what Melbourne won by this weekend. And South Sydney had the type of game where they should have bolstered their points differential. So this was huge for the Storm. I wouldn't write them off either. I think they're on, I think I said, like, when Canberra went to New Zealand, I really liked the Raiders. But when Canberra went to Melbourne, I didn't like the Raiders, even though they're catching more points. And I said they're probably similar propositions in terms of difficulty of opponents. So I probably do see Melbourne on a level similar to the Warriors. And when you've got Papenhuyzen, who got through 80 yesterday and can rejoin, then you can't write the Storm off. I know they lost by 20 in Penrith a week ago, but I could see if it's a finals game that they probably don't beat them. They probably can't beat Brisbane and Brisbane in a finals game. But it's similar to what I just said about the Warriors. If everything went right and if it was their night, they'd have a chance.
45 points differential between the Bunnies and the Storm now. The only sides that have worse for and against than the Raiders this year is the Bulldogs, Dragons and Tigers. Even the Dolphins, who are in 14th, have a better for and against than the Raiders. Really, really wild. I don't think I've ever seen something like that on the NRL ladder before. And I just think with my tip here, maybe when I was a bit blinded by us both wanting Rabbitohs top four so badly, this loomed as the last possible chance right now. Just like when the Titans play, I was blinded with optimism. Final game of the round, Knights smashed the Doggies again. It was 66-0 last time. Wasn't quite this bad this time. It was 42-6. Went with Tyson Gamble for my MVP. Jackson Hastings went off early. And I'll tell you what, Bulldogs, if they didn't lose their halfback, what could this score have been? It might have been worse than last time. My play here was Bulldogs halftime, Knights fulltime. What can you say? There was just no fight from the Doggies in the first half. Plenty went against them, including two sin bins. But they were the right decisions. They weren't incorrect decisions just based off the consistency the NRL's had around those calls in recent weeks. And it just hasn't gone to Doggies this year, gone to plan for the Doggies this year, sorry. And I understand there's been injuries that have hurt their season. I think they've got the most injuries of any team in the NRL this year. But with Gus Gould in charge and Cameron Serraldo, who was such a noted defensive coach, particularly at the Panthers, they haven't gotten what they needed to this year. They haven't shown improvements. In fact, they have gone backwards in a lot of statistical areas. And you just wonder that, is Serraldo going to end up as another Trent Barrett, an assistant coach who looked brilliant at the Panthers under Cleary, went to the Bulldogs and just couldn't quite hack it there? Time will tell. I'm not going to make that prediction just yet. Meanwhile, Knights were flawless. I've got nothing negative to say about them here. Their win streak extends to 6, I believe. And you'd have to say they're probably the premiership dark horse. They're in 9th at the moment, so they're not even in the top 8. So I think it's probably fair to have them in dark horse stakes. Would you agree with that, Winnie, and how do you see this one?
Yeah, I do think Newcastle, they're a side that, they're stronger at home, but they're a side that is pretty defensively sound, is strong in the forward pack, has outside backs that can make things happen, and importantly, spine members. And Hastings is a big loss, but I've been talking every week about how untouchable Ponga is. And look, I had a losing best bet on this, so it's on me that I thought the Dogs could really mix it here, but they just completely no-showed. I guess my one reservation was, do they come back from the bye and it's like, oh, the season's nearly over, so they've kind of already checked out? And this would suggest yes, because they were so poor. Like, was the opening try Dane Gagai? I mean, just runs in field, yeah. Just roaming. Or that was either first or second try. And, yeah, just gliding past people. You never see a try like that in first grade. So, and then they had a couple of sin bins first half. Dogs played a few minutes with 11. So what chance did they have? But maybe there was a little bit of fight back second half, only lost at 12-6. It was going to be the record of most ever points conceded consecutively or unanswered across two games or between the same two teams. Because at one point, I think the stat was Newcastle are beating the Knights like 96-0 over the last two games. Newcastle are beating the Dogs. The Dogs got one consolation try, but doesn't count for much here when I had either team 1-12. And also the mixed matchup. The Finns were held to 14 points, which is a modest total. I said 18 was par. And then the Dogs toss up a measly 6 points late in this game. The Knights were far too solid. So a Newcastle side that I believed in all year kind of went against them with my pick, and I paid the price.
Jerry says Knights is seventh. That's correct. Sorry, Jerry. Their NRL ladder has not been updated, but I've just checked the Fox one. The Knights are in seventh. Probably still out seventh. I'd have them as a dark horse in this competition. They're not quite a legitimate threat just yet to the Panthers and Broncos, but they're certainly the dark horse. And why they were so impressive here again, Winnie, Kalen Ponga only had one try assist. He didn't play his best, and Jackson Hastings ruled out early. Phoenix Crossland, their hooker, injured as well. So this could have been a lot, lot worse, and they still managed a huge, huge victory. But that is going to go ahead and wrap it up for our round 24 NRL recap. We want to say thank you very much to everyone that was here live with us and to everyone listening as a podcast later. We appreciate you being here with us, and we will see you Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. for our round 25 preview and best bets. That's all from me. Thank you very much. And over to you, Winnie, to say goodbye.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Have a great week, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Lego!